Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
This is Tage Thompson. He'll gain the line. He's got a lane. Fires a shot. Skinner saving a rebound. Scores! Tage TNT Thompson stayed with his own rebound, and it's 1-0 Buffalo. Meanwhile, McLeod to the slot. Scores! Alex Tuck! On a great feed from McLeod in the slot, and the Sabres get the lead back. It is 2-1. Trying to leave it for Drysdale. That's broken up. Now race for it. Bouchard. He's got his hands full here right in front of the net. Scores! Tage Thompson! Sabres with the steal, and then they seal the deal with a 3-2 lead over the Oilers.
Familiar occurrence from a goal-scoring standpoint. Two for Thompson, one for Tuck. This time, the defense holds up. Buffalo over Edmonton last night, 3-2. Welcome into Sabres Live. The next game's actually really juicy as far as the Eastern Conference race is concerned. It's Buffalo in Detroit tomorrow. They're on the ice for practice today before departing. Marty, you and I took a vow of silence in the half hour prior to the show, so I have no idea where you want to start with this game from last night.
Okay, I'm going to start with Tage Thompson. Look, you know, when they played in Florida, Tage was playing the left wing, Norris was in the middle, and Tuck was on the right. And I felt like Tage was unable to have the puck, unable to go up the ice. And so, you know, they come back home, and after reviewing the tape, they're probably seeing the same thing I saw on that game Saturday. And
did they really need to review the tape? Come on.
Well, I'm sure they did, because that's what everybody says.
It's true.
To take a look at the tape. So once I take a look at the tape, I'll be able to make a decision. Usually make the decision, you know.
I was at the bench. I didn't have a good view of it. So I got to
know exactly. So we got to look at the tape. But Tage was, to me, the way that we need Tage to be. He was attacking the net. He was shooting. He was fast. And maybe that has to be, okay, now I've played a game with Josh Norris, and I know a little bit of how he's going to play. And I know the goal that Tage scored, a game-winning goal. Norris made a great job. But Tage was flying, too. There were both of them going. Not one of them looked at the other and says, oh, you're going? I'm going to stop. They both went, right? And that was the big thing for me, is that they were aggressive. And obviously, we all know that they're going to need some really big numbers and offense from Tage Thompson next year. They're going to need some big numbers and offense from Josh Norris next year. And look, Tage Thompson right now in his last 28 games, he has 31 points and 17 goals. 17 goals in 28 games. Like, that's on pace for 50, right, in a regular season.
I got news for you. His last 4 years have resembled this.
They have. But I think last year we saw a drop, and yes, the injury was there. But that's Tage. That's Tage Thompson. And despite the fact that the team 2 years ago, everybody, the career highs or whatever, last year a dip, Tage is still given exactly what the Sabres wanted and expected when they gave him that contract.
There's a
He's
mild
not one
annoyance.
That's underperforming it.
There's a mild annoyance statistically about last year, and that was because of all the things you said and, you know, the frustration towards the end of the year. Not him specifically. I mean, team in the standings. He ended on 29. It's so annoying to me. I just want to keep rolling out, you know, 430 goal season, blah, blah. Like, it's just, anyway, it's my pet peeve.
No.
It's, anyway. But, and I know you didn't know I was going to ask this.
Oh, I like that spontaneous trivia.
Well, it's not really trivia. Oh. And in fact, it's certainly not trivial because it's personal and it affects the person you're talking about. When he appeared on the national post-game interview last night, he was asked yet again about center or wing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I'm okay with either. And this is not breaking news. But he did mention the comfort at center. So, as you look at it from a big picture standpoint, as a coaching staff and as management, how do you navigate this or even discuss it from the standpoint of, wouldn't you want your best players to be in their most comfortable position?
I love when we don't do a ton of preparation before the show, because that was something that I thought about last night again. And I didn't, like, I paid attention to the post-game interview, but then I quickly flipped over to other games, right? I wanted to see what was happening, like the end of the game in Detroit, Ottawa. What a finish. And then Toronto, Utah was starting. And so I was kind of, you know, wanting to see what was going on there. But in, you know, because the conversation we had a couple of days ago, maybe even over the weekend off air, was who are the four centers for the Sabres next year? Like, who are the four centers? And if Yuri Kulik is a center, is he a top six? Is he lower? Norris is a center. McLeod is a center. Maybe you have Krebs as a fourth line center, which is fine. Look, I mean, say what you want to say about Peyton Krebs, and he's a first round pick. I mean, first round picks sometimes end up fourth line guys, or, you know, sixth defensemen or backup goalies or whatever. It just, that's the way it goes. But let's see, there's a better available winger in the offseason than an available center. Okay. I think you could say Thompson in the middle with Peterka and player X, a winger that you're like, hey, we're going to target that player. And maybe that's via a trade. Maybe that's an unrestricted free agent, but that's a winger. And then you have, let's see, Zucker with Norris and Tuck. Or say that's your second line, right? And then you could say, okay, I'm going to have McLeod with Kulik and Quinn as your third line, right? And say, okay, speed, skills, and that leaves you Benson, Greenway, and Krebs as your fourth line. And then there's other parts, all of that, but I'm saying one player would make this roster would make a major difference in the way this roster was constructed. That it is a center or a wing, I don't care. But to me, if you have a better winger available, and put Tage in the middle.
But
if you have a better center available.
Who's going to be better statistically on the wing than what Tage has shown?
I'm saying not so much better than Tage. I'm saying, like, you have player A and player B. And one's a center and one's a winger. But the winger is better than the center. But you think that you need a center to fill the position. Mm-hmm. I don't care that you need a. No, move Tage to the middle and get the winger. Get the better player. Right? Tage can play the middle of the ice. There was so many times in that game last night where Tage and Josh were kind of rotating in, you know, who was a little low, and then there was a rotation, and then Tage went back to the wing. Tage can play in the middle of the ice. He can produce in the middle of the ice. Yes, he continues to produce on the wing, and he continues to have 5-3, 7-5, 4-6 shots on goal. That's great. I think Tage would be over 40 right now if the power play was going this year. And maybe that's the biggest thing. It doesn't matter where Tage play, as long as you give him his opportunities offensively and the power play gets going. And then doesn't matter. Put him on the wing or in the center position. Just don't put him on left wing. He's not good there.
We're just going to let that little jab joke linger for a little bit longer.
Like, what's the difference between left and right? There's a lot of difference.
Well,
and
from your vantage point over 500 games, you never cared.
Well, for me, I never cared, lefty or righty. Right, but shot. I'll tell you this. I noticed it Saturday against Florida, and I was like, ooh, that's a little – some guys are good playing their off wing. Right? So, some guys like it better, but yeah, it wasn't for Tage.
So did you really answer – I mean, it was kind of a loaded question in a certain standpoint, but how important are the players' feelings in all of this?
Well – they are, but at the end of the day, producing, a player wants to produce. Mm-hmm. A player wants his stats to show that he's a big part of the success of a team. Mm-hmm. And I think Tage would rather have a 45-goal season on the wing than a 37-goal season at center. Okay. Because at the end of the day, it'd be 45 goals. But he did score 47 playing the middle of the ice, so I think he could do that, you know, no problem at all.
Yeah.
But who are you playing with? I think that's more where players have more of a say. Like, especially a player like Tage Thompson. I really like playing with player X. Mm-hmm. If he really likes playing with Norris and Peterka, then maybe you keep that together. And maybe it becomes find a second line center. I'm hesitant to say Yuri Kulik is a top two center just because I want the Sabres to take a step forward next year. And that step forward would mean just don't recycle a spot, right? Don't go back to, you did step forward with Josh Norris in the middle of the ice. I think Norris is going to be better than Cousins in the middle of the ice and will play higher in the lineup. But I'm just saying, don't hesitate to put somebody else there, to find somebody else for that. So that's why I'm saying that. But look, if it's Yuri Kulik with Tuck and Zucker, as long as it performs, as long as it works. And for Tage, as long as he's happy with who he's playing, I don't really think the center wing is going to matter at the end of the day because it's all about production.
You know what two categories are the highest of Tage's career right now?
Ooh, is shot percentage?
Shooting percentage is one. He's at 18.5, which is a really, really impressive number if you don't typically indulge in this. His career shooting percentage is 13.4. So that's a pretty significant bump.
Oh, and I think I know the other one.
His 47-goal season, he was at 15.9, which is also incredibly high. And then last year was dramatically affected by what you said, an injury. And even then, it wasn't a massive drop-off. It would actually be a fine number for some, but it was 11.8. So, again, it's just in the position, the ability to shoot with the velocity that we've seen over and over, league-leading as far as volume of shots at a thing. But what I... quickly, the other number is?
The other number, I think they mentioned it after the game, saying that Tage was second in even strength goal to Leon Draisaitl.
Oh, well, so I wonder if that's... I'm just looking at...
Is this the most 28? It's the most he scored even strength, I believe.
Yes, it is. He had two at 26, so that's yet another category. Thank you for the clarification. He's actually just a tick, ice time-wise, ahead of where he was a couple of years. So I think that's important to reiterate here, because whether he is on the wing or at center, you want to have your best players able to keep playing more, right? Mm-hmm. So every situation. So he's at 18.38 now, time on ice per game. If Tage can settle in between 19 and 20, obviously it's not Kucherov. It's not McDavid. It's not Draisaitl. But it would put him in that area where, you know, like Tuck is the league, is the Sabres leader in time on ice among forwards this year. You can understand why. But I want to see Tage continue to grow in that area. There's another wrinkle in this because it was the first game with Josh Norris where Tage was on the right wing. Mm-hmm. Did you know that Norris, in his 35-goal year, had over 300 shots on goal. 313. Tage has not hit that yet. He ended at 295 in his biggest year. But it leads us back into how people are reacting to our social media question and what you think of Tage and Josh together. And there was one response that said, silly, both are shoot first guys. Give us a sense of how that dynamic unfolds. And there's lots of great answers, and most of them would be what I would say, way too early to tell. But that's an interesting angle to look at it, and especially from your standpoint, because you would see it in practice every day, and then you see it as the game unfolds. So, like, what do you think when you have two potentially close to guys that have shot 300 shots in a season?
Well, my first reaction to that is, well, the more you shoot, if you're a good shooter, the more percentage-wise the puck's going to go in, right? So if Tage has five shots, six a game, and Norris has four or five a game, and J.J. Paterka has three and whatever, and they're on the same line, well, they're going to produce, and they're going to create chances. So that's one. Look, the shoot-first mentality, and there's guys that are going to be labeled as shooter. Ovechkin is a shooter, right? I mean, can he make plays? Yes. But when he has the puck, he's a shooter. And that used to be a little bit more relevant, you know, years ago, where I remember, you know, Rick Martin or, you know, Rene Robert saying, we're shooters. Mm-hmm. We come into the zone and we shoot the puck. That's what we do. The game is different. But Tage is still going to get his goals, even if he plays with a shoot-first guy like Josh Norris. And Josh Norris, I believe, either will get his goals or either will adjust his game to be maybe a point-a-guy player. Mm-hmm. He's never been a point-a-guy player in the NHL. His best season, you know, he had 55 points in 66 games. Mm-hmm. But could he be, instead of a 35-30 guy, could he be a 25-50, right? And I'm fine with that. Like, if he's a 25-50, I'm fine with it. Tage is a 40-plus. Good. Paterka, maybe a 25 to 35 goals guy. Look, you're looking at 85, 90 goals for the line. I'm totally fine with that. So I get that maybe that's not the, you know, but let it play out. I'm saying let it play out. This is game two of Norris being with the Sabres and playing with Tage Thompson. In two games, we've already seen two different line combination and two different results. No goals in Saturday's game. Well, Tage had two goals in that game, and that line had two goals, so it worked out, right? Let it play out. I'm not going to label Norris a shoot-first guy. Is he a goal scorer? Yes. But I think there's more to the player that completes him.
Stuart Skinner has never been labeled a Vitek Vanacek against the Sabres, so that might have been the biggest difference between Saturday and last night.
And I get it, right? Like, the Sabres win last night, great. That, look, it was a full building. It was a lot of Oilers fans, but look, it's Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl coming in. Everybody's is getting a good show. And McDavid and Draisaitl were buzzing. Now, the amount of chances Draisaitl had on the back door, and the part, I almost feel like McDavid was trying to be too cute and overpassing. And buddy, when he has the puck and he starts circling the drain, it was fun to watch. It was great. Sabres win. Sabres fans are going home happy after the night, saying we got a great game to watch. We got an exciting game. There was chances at both ends. But holy moly, was Stuart Skinner flopping and flipping around like a fish out of water. That shot that Tage hit him in the chest on his first goal, it was Ramri-esque when, you know, the puck was bouncing against Ottawa. He couldn't get his hands on it. It was a hot potato. The thing was... And then even Tage's second goal, I get it. Bouchard gets beat to the puck by Norris. But, like, his inability to open the hips and be at least a little limber in that, like, Tage made him look very silly on that.
Yeah.
The Oilers have a problem in that, and I get it.
Do they?
Yeah, they do. I mean, Stuart Skinner is so inconsistent, and... You get a game like you got last night. Look, the last game they played, he was really good. He was a big reason, I believe it was against the Montreal Canadiens.
Yes.
He's a big reason why they won. He played well. But there's too many Not even high.
Well, which Skinner is of greater concern for the Oilers?
It's not Jeff. Jeff is an afterthought right now. He's like, whatever. He's a body that gets into a jersey and goes out onto the ice once in a while and has been healthy scratched. The number one goaltender with the Oilers, Stuart Skinner, is a concern. And look, the Oilers kept saying, we don't want to update. And behind the scene, they kept saying, well, we don't like what's out there anyway. It's not better than ours. And maybe that's true. Maybe John Gibson injured is not right now a better solution than Stuart Skinner. And how many other solutions were there around the NHL? Peter Mrazek? I would have taken Peter Mrazek, I think, over Stuart Skinner, but they didn't want to do that. So I know you don't like Mrazek, but that's me.
I would have sold the farm for Binnington, honestly.
Yeah, but St. Louis wasn't going to do that. So
no,
that's
good.
No, I get
it.
That's fine.
I get it.
And look, I get it. Maybe there was not a good option. But you're going into the playoffs with the best two of the best players in the world, Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, and you have Stuart Skinner and Calvin Pickard once again as your goalie tandem. That doesn't inspire confidence.
You know who might have... Well, sorry. Do you know who was the second best goalie in the NHL last night?
Okay, so it was Scott Wedgwood.
Yes, he was so good.
He was fantastic.
He just didn't make 48 saves like Ullmark. Holy cow.
Well, okay. I'd say Ullmark was excellent last night with the Ottawa Senators. And good for him and good for the Sens that were able to win at home against Detroit. That was a big game. Mm-hmm. The Red Wings are falling on hard times.
Six losses in a row, 8 of the last 10.
I know you have a little sense of joy when you say that, but that's you know. So okay, Ullmark was really good, and that's fine. I don't think that the Senators can play the way they played and hope that they're going to get in.
Like, well, that's what Lena said.
Like, is that what he said?
That's what he said. He goes, we got to be honest and realize that this is not sustainable. It's not the way to play.
He gave up 49 shots, and they gave up a goal and really had give up a second one, but it was after the buzzer at the end of the game. But look, Ullmark was great. Wedgwood was awesome. Mm-hmm. Vemelko was actually pretty good in a shootout
loss. He was pretty
good
too. Yeah.
He was very good. He made a big paddle save late.
I love seeing, you know, the new market of Utah and fans just spontaneously chanting, you know, veggie and things like that. That's how you grow the game in a first year. They've had some really, really difficult times winning at home. And last night fell into that category again, despite extending the shootout. Well, not extending, but scoring to tie the shootout only to lose to Mitch Marner. They've done so much stuff right. I don't know whether they're going to be able to scale the mountain and get in.
They got good players, though.
They do.
Got really good players, but that's good. Yeah. And so we talked about Ullmark, Wedgwood, Vemelka, Luukkonen. Luukkonen was really good in the game. Dude, that's a big
number
reason.
One star, in my opinion, last night.
Yeah, I say the post may have stolen a few of them, and that was great. But Luukkonen was really good. And if you're going to play the Edmonton Oilers and Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, you need a goaltender that's going to make more than his fair share of saves. And there was a lot of in tight plays. The Sabres early in the game were all over the place defensively.
Look at his depth in the crease, which you talk about. I loved where he was, closer to the goal line, able to react to those plays.
A lot
loved it.
Easier.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
To react, a lot easier to read the play. I didn't like that he got beat on a long screenshot, like the nurse goal. I feel like the size that you have, it wasn't five guys in a line. It was Bo Byram, who's a lot smaller, and I think it was Hyman that was in front of the net, maybe. You should be able to look around that. And in the first period, the Sabres defensively were chasing. They got way better. They adjusted. They were able to get sticks and counter the circling the wagon that the Oilers and McDavid were doing. But they wouldn't have been feeling confident if it wasn't of Luukkonen. If they gave up two or three in the first period, on plays in the offensive zone, I bet you the Sabres would have been chasing and chasing a lot because they wouldn't have been confident in getting a save. They got saves and made a big difference.
How great is it that our guest, our very forthcoming guest on the show yesterday,
yeah,
ended up setting up the game-winning goal while Leon Draisaitl was on the ice.
Which, like, every time Josh Norris took a draw against Draisaitl, I was watching, what is he doing? Like, is he adjusting? Because the story, if you didn't listen to the show yesterday, Josh Norris, you ask if he had, some stories to tell about playing against McDavid and Draisaitl, and he first started by saying, well, everybody has, because everybody's been on the, receiving hand of those two. And then he goes, my first year, I was, going to take a face-off, and I thought, I can handle myself. This is hockey. And he goes, Draisaitl read me like an open book on the face-off. I swung and missed. He lifted his stick, got it on the second swipe. 3 seconds later, the puck's in the net. And he goes, since then, I've known that I need to adjust when I play against top players like Draisaitl. And yes, not only does he fly by Draisaitl, flies by Bouchard, gets the puck to Thompson, but every face-off that Norris was on against Draisaitl, I was like, ooh, what is he doing? And he did really good against Draisaitl in the game last night. I don't even know what he ended with, but I thought he did really good against Draisaitl.
Super cool. Really happy for Josh. He's an easy guy to root for, and he's shown a lot of little things that people are already talking about, whether it's teammates, coaches, and importantly, I think here, very importantly, fans are, if you're paying attention to the game, you want to pay attention to how can this guy make us better? And it's all Josh wants to do. And, unfortunately, people are also going to look at what was dealt in the deal and how quickly Cousins has had an impact for the Senators, right? So... that's the nature of what appeared to be a pretty balanced trade on the surface. We're going to need an awful lot of time to see how it plays out, right?
But we're going to need to see Bernard Docker play, and that is,
to a certain extent, yeah.
Figured out, but I want to see how we can help defensively the Sabres, even if last night it was a game where at the end of the night, look, you know, the expected goals were in the Oilers' favor. You still gave up more chances than you ended up creating, mostly because of the power play. The Oilers' power play moved the puck well. The Sabres, it was a little, you know, iffy at times.
At Sabres Live is where you can hit us up with your thoughts on question of the day, anything else. I would offer up this and beg for your response. If Marty Biron had been suspended for 20 games, what would he have done wrong? At Sabres Live on X, yeah, we have lots to get to, including that gigantic suspension for a huge Florida defenseman. But we do want to remind you, when the Sabres get back home later this week, it's time to celebrate St. Paddy's Day. It's what we do in Buffalo. It's presented by Topps Friendly Market. Vegas is in town. It's a 12:30 game on Saturday, March the 15th. Special giveaways, games on the concourse, and let's celebrate one of Buffalo's best holiday traditions. Sabres.com/tickets to purchase yours today. We're back after this on Sabres Live.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Marty's laughing. That can only be a good thing. Buffalo won 3-2 over Edmonton last night. I want to get to everything around the NHL, but there's one Sabre that we, I don't think, got to in the first segment, and it's noteworthy when it comes to wins and losses. Who is it?
Jason Zucker.
Thank you. Yes. Six games without him, six straight losses, back in, and they win. Obviously, this is a very small sample size, but it does help to balance things out when we spend an inordinate amount of time talking about how do you configure the top six. And okay, Zucker has played his way into that this year.
Look, the way that Natural Stat Trick has, you know, when you look at the lines and five-on-five shot attempts, you know, when everybody's on the ice together, the best line shot attempts yesterday was Benson, Krebs, and Quinn. But they also did not play against the highest competitive level. The Oilers, after McDavid, Draisaitl, RNH, Hyman, it kind of drops. But Jason Zucker, Ryan McLeod, and Alex Tuck were almost 50%. In scoring chances, they were right there. They were almost, expected goals was almost 50-50. That, to me, is exactly what you want to see from that line. And I felt like Zucker was a big part for where McLeod and Tuck were playing. So that was good. I know you're laughing right now.
What are you laughing? What were you laughing at, honestly, coming back from break?
Some of the responses from your great question about if I was getting suspended for 20 games in the NHL, and then Jeff, our producer, put it on social media, and he said, wrong answers only. So we're getting some really, really good wrong answers as to why I would have gotten suspended for 20 games in the NHL.
Please elaborate, because I can't even pronounce what you apparently mispronounce. I'm missing the joke on this.
Didgeridoo? I can pronounce didgeridoo.
What? Who is that? What is
it's
it?
It's a didgeridoo. Isn't it like an instrument?
What?
Like a long, like Australian instrument, that big tube that's... Isn't it a didgeridoo?
I don't know. I'm pleading
ignorance. Jeff says,
here.
Producer Jeff says, I know what a didgeridoo is. So you know what? Buffalo's good, old's good, or Buffalo's good, or whatever it is. I know how to pronounce didgeridoo.
Illegal use of the mouth.
That's the one I was laughing at earlier when, you know, this
okay,
nice,
well, this is nothing to laugh
person
at.
Said I would have got suspended for illegal use of the mouth. That's Brad Marchand. That's not me.
Right. The Panthers are without Aaron Ekblad for 20 games. This yes. is a huge, huge, huge turn of events for a team that is obviously defending champions, but they're trying to lock down first in the division. And I'll tell you what it does do. Is it makes the Seth Jones acquisition look even more brilliant, significant, however you want to term it. But Ekblad, you know, used a substance supplement that he was thinking would help in his recovery from injury. He took ownership of it, put a statement out through the NHLPA, and my goodness, we just don't see this very often anymore. So
the last time we saw a player getting suspended for failing a drug test for performance-enhancing drugs, and often it's not you know, you don't go out there taking something that is going to give you an advantage in strength and conditioning. It's either a mistake or, you know, carelessness by a player. Nate Schmidt was the last one. It was in 2018, I believe, with the Golden Knights. And he said, look, it was a microscopic amount of a supplement that was probably contaminated in something that he was using, right? Because that can happen. You have to, the NHLPA tells the players all the time, we have meetings on that. If you're going to take supplements, like recovery supplements, creatine supplements, whatever it is, make sure you get a certain brand, because often brands that you'll get at, you know, just the normal stores, they may be contaminated, because they'll run through a batch of supplements and then they'll run through another batch, different, but maybe you got ingredients from the old batch that's going to contaminate. So make sure you get, they used to call it the gold post stickers. Whatever got the gold post stickers, that was clean and, studied and everything. So Nate Schmidt had a small amount years ago, got suspended. Aaron Ekblad is different, because he's not saying, oh, I didn't take anything bad. He's saying, I didn't do my homework. I was dealing with an injury. I wanted to help with my recovery, which is probably saying you're taking a recovery supplement, shake, whatever, and did not talk about it with my people. So, and the team, because there's a list. You get a list of either ingredients that you cannot have, and you have to get it cleared. And sometimes, and this is another thing people don't know, let's say I'm very sick and I need a special medication that is on the banned substance. You get to sign a piece of paper, and the doctor signs a piece of paper saying you need that banned substance for a medical usage. And if you were to get a test the next week and you test positive for that substance, you have, you're allowed to do it. So there's ways you can have specific medication or ingredients, but obviously Aaron Ekblad didn't do his homework. The team didn't do their homework, and he got caught. Now he's done for the 18 regular seasons and 2 playoff games. That's huge.
It is huge.
Should I say huge? Because I'm getting suspended for pronouncing an H. That was another great response.
I love these responses. Obviously, I never used the drug, but some are wondering whether you used Propecia,
yeah.
Jose Theodore's hair drug.
That, you know what? I don't. And back in the days, that was also a very weird story, because Jose Theodore, when he got caught basically using Propecia, which is not a steroid, but it was known as a masking agent. It's not just the bad stuff. It's the stuff that is going to mask the steroids. So you're not allowed to take that stuff either. Right. And Jose Theodore had the nice flow, the long flow, the big hair. Yep. And then he fails a drug test for, you know, a masking agent, Propecia. So that led to a lot of question mark. This looks wrong, because the guy has a full set of hair, but who knows?
You know, it works.
It absolutely worked back in the days. I mean, that had to be like early 2000, I think. Like,
sure. It was not far removed from when he was MVP, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And that was.
Or did he win? Or did he tie with Iginla? Or how did that? Now, why am I blanking?
He won. He beat Iginla, but they were tied, and he had more first place vote that year.
Yeah. Okay.
Because one rider did not even give a first, second, third, fourth, or fifth place vote to Jerome Iginla.
Joke.
That was Ann back then, and
joke.
It still talks about it. I'm not going to say it in that sense, because I have no
Greek
evidence, but there was rumors that it may have been, you know, racially, driven in that way. That's why it created a big stir.
Awful.
Awful. Awful.
We mentioned Detroit last night losing a sixth straight. Conversely, their opponent, now wildcard one, Ottawa, is 4-0-1 in the last five. Columbus, wild card two, as we look at the bunched up Eastern Conference. Columbus is at New Jersey tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Ottawa is at Philadelphia tonight. And the Rangers are in Winnipeg. Montreal, not out of it yet. They're at Vancouver. Islanders are at LA. And what do you hear on Tuesday, the 11th of March, just over a month away from the regular season's conclusion? Like, when you look at the standings here, what is your latest hunch as to how it's going to unfold?
Well, I woke up this morning and I kind of started doing some work, like, okay, what are the games last night, reviewing some of the tapes. And I got a text from our great, studio brains, Tom Mecca, saying, hey, could the Devils be in trouble right now? And yeah, the Devils could very much be in trouble. You lose to the Columbus Blue Jackets tonight, and the Devils already have 65 games played. So they have two more played than Ottawa, two more played than Columbus, one more than the Rangers. And there's only 6 points between the Rangers and the Devils. I think this is the race to watch. How can the Rangers get back in the picture, but how much will the Devils fall? Now, they did win their last game. Good on the Devils, but they had some really tough games before that. And no Jack Hughes, no Dougie Hamilton. There's a lot going on with the Devils. So I could see if Columbus beats the Devils tonight, I can see the Devils kind of magic number, if you want to say, really being one to watch for now until the rest of the year.
Yeah, Columbus has two against the Devils and they have three against Ottawa. It's like a quarter of their season wrapped up in these two teams that are directly ahead of them.
I mean, you go 5-0 in those five games, you're golden, right? Now,
but what do you make about Montreal? They're 5-1-1 in the last seven. They've conducted themselves very well on this business trip out west.
Yes, they've conducted themselves. They lost 1-0, in Calgary. That was a tough game where Dustin Wolf was really good in net for the Calgary Flames, which puts the Calgary Flames in a better spot right now. Right? They still are a point ahead of Vancouver, but any given night now, the standings, especially in the East, because that's where my focus goes to, but the West is really tight as well. You have five teams, probably six. New Jersey, Ottawa, Columbus, Rangers, Canadiens, Red Wings. Those are the six teams, I believe, are fighting for three spots right now.
And then in the West, St. Louis, obviously with their run, has stayed in it. Vancouver, it seems almost bizarre that they're still right there, because they seem like they're more up and down than everybody else. Yep. Utah gets a point last night, but not two, and they are 3 points behind Calgary, and Anaheim refuses to surrender, even though they are 7 points back of the Flames. There are some teams in that mix that 2 months ago you would not have assumed that they would still be in the conversation.
Well, Anaheim is on the outside, but I still keep him in, and I love that you brought him up, because they play inspired. It's like their desperation level at every game is high, and they probably won't make it. And I wouldn't put an old $2 bill on the Anaheim Ducks right now. I'd save it for, whatever. But yeah, they probably won't make it. Utah is fun. I felt like they were handed a bad call yesterday when the Leafs took a 3-0 lead on Simon Benoit's goal. Look, he hit the puck above his head with the stick somehow. And they reviewed it and were like, no, there's no conclusive evidence that the puck was played with a high stick. So I'm thinking, okay, if Benoit didn't score the goal, right? Like, okay, maybe he didn't hit it. But the game sheet said Simon Benoit with the goal. So he obviously touched a puck. And it was 7 feet tall.
Smallest player in NHL history, Simon Benoit.
I know, exactly. It was above his shoulders, and they felt like it wasn't above the crossbar. Like, seriously. And my boy Bear, Andre Tourigny, the coach of the Utah Hockey Club, was losing his mind on the bench. And I was so happy, because they're in fighting. And look, it was 3-0, and they came back before the end of the period. Mm. It was 3-3, and Utah had all the momentum.
Nathan MacKinnon. Amazing. He gets to 1,000, not once, but twice, and became, and I love this for him, because I don't want to say whatever, because I do want to say, like, there's a lot of whatever kind of low level milestones that get talked about. This is obviously an elite, elite, elite one. But I love for Nathan the fact that he's the 100th ever to hit 1,000. So give me round numbers, please, at this level every day of the week.
Well, He did it twice, so that's even more fun. But yes, he gets his 1,000th point in the NHL on the Marty Nature's goal. The whole team comes on the ice. It's a fun celebration. Graphics on the Jumbotron. There's fireworks going off. Well, there was no fireworks, but, you know, you could see the whole picture. And then it's like the play is being challenged for offside. And then upon further review, at 12:43 of the first period, the play was offside. We got no goal. So then when McKinnon ends up with a secondary assist for his 1,000th NHL point, the team came on the ice to celebrate with him, but it didn't have the same excitement as the first time. It was like, have you ever, well, Duffer, you're not a big movie guy, but there's a movie called Big Daddy with Adam Sandler, where they wasted a good surprise on Adam Sandler. It's a birthday surprise, but the wrong person walked in. So I'm like, well, they wasted a good celebration on a goal that wasn't a goal. And then the second celebration was kind of like, blah.
Colorado had a perfect homestand. They go 6-for-6, and they scored 31 goals in the 6 games. Sabres are teaming up.
I'm telling you, that maybe is the biggest deal that nobody will talk about. He's going to be fantastic in Colorado.
That's why Carolina never should have let him go. Yeah. Had him on a team-friendly deal for 2 years. Anyway, Sabres are teaming up with Bald for Bucks. Donate $50 or more and receive a Bald for Bucks t-shirt. This is an annual ask of us and the Sabres to our incredible community. And we want you to get involved once again. Marty and Dan are the faces of this event. And you can go to sabres.com/baldforbucks to get involved. We're back after this on Sabres Live.
Nothing else comes close.
Sabres at Detroit tomorrow, another national telecast. You can hear it, though, right here on WGR Sports Radio 550. The great chase continues tonight. Capitals are out west against the Ducks, one of the teams you just gave a mild applause to for their effort. How many does Ovechkin get tonight? He needs 9 for the record.
So the rumor is, and I think it was AJ Molesko last night on ESPN that said that, the rumor is that when Ovechkin gets down to 5 goals to catch Gretzky, that Gretzky will be following along. I would love for Ovechkin to get a couple here, a couple, and get within 5 when, you know, the Sabres are going to play in Washington, just because the buzz of having Gretzky in that building and, you know, all of that. So I'm saying 2 goals for Ovechkin in this game tonight in the great chase.
Canada won't be watching if Gretzky's there.
There's a lot going on, yes, that's for sure.
What's the wildest punch you ever thrown?
Wildest is I caught Scott Nickel in the side of the head with my blocker after he sucker punched Jaroslav Spachek in Nashville. But Spacho had did him dirty right before that. So,
what did you think of last night?
So Utah, 3-0 Toronto against Utah, and Simon Benoit and Kesselring get, you know, squared off after the 3-0 goal, and Benoit decides to go with the Superman punch, like MMA attack. That didn't work out for Benoit all that much. And then Kesselring got his team fired up. They came back and tied it 3-3 later in that period. But a full-out jump punch, that was, I don't recommend it in a hockey fight.
It was amazing. What else are we going to be talking about tomorrow?
A lot. Just like, you know, we'll see what makes it through the list.
See you tomorrow.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.